Worth the risk. You know, I have found that at age 50, that I'm a bit more cautious than I once was. For instance, this week, I had a creative discussion with one of my children, in which I expressed my caution. Something that when I'm not terribly tired, I sort of tend to refrain from doing or wait until a proper moment. But when I am tired, the patience is not there as much, and I speak what I think. And often it's caution. Caution. Now, caution is a good thing. There is reason for it in this world. Because, you know, though things are changing, there are still a lot of things that have gone around in years past that are still going around today. And just because things are new doesn't necessarily make them right. Correct? Still, caution can be a problem if it prevents us from taking creative risks. Risk. You know, this morning's scripture are all about risk. A shepherd who risks 99 sheep to go searching for that one. A woman who risks the time, if you will, to scour the household in search of that lost coin. And Paul, and the risk that was taken in calling him to be an apostle. Now, it's an interesting thing about all of these stories. When it's talking about risk, you know in these stories who is taking the risk. Anyone? Who's taking the risk here? It's God. Jesus was telling some stories about the kingdom, you know, to these naysayers over here. Here is God. God as shepherd. Anyone who had been raised with all that imagery from the Old Testament and as of God as the shepherd of Israel. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters, to green pastures, through the valley of the shadow of death. God, the shepherd. And here is this shepherd, the shepherd of Israel, who sets aside the needs of 99 sheep. For the one. Now, when you think about that, that does not make sense, doesn't it? Does it make sense to you? I mean, I jump into my Star Trek mode and think of Commander Spock. What race was he? Anyone? He was a Vulcan. Yes, some of us know that. And for Vulcans, it's very rational. And in rational philosophy, the needs of the many outnumber the needs of the one or the few. That's not a bad philosophy. In fact, some of that is built into the way we are created to be as disciples. I mean, Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow, and our needs lay aside, correct, for others. And yet, here is this picture of God as a shepherd who sets aside the needs of the many for that one. What a risk! I mean, pan that story out in your head. Think about what could have happened. Think about what you would have felt like if you were one of those sheep. Oh no, the shepherd has gone off. What happens if lions, tigers, or bears come? Who will protect us? Are you listening? And yet, the shepherd of Israel, who neither slumbers nor sleeps, went off in search of that one and found the lost sheep. And there was what in heaven? Oh, come on, do it, remember? Yay! Remember our acting out of that scripture. And also, think about the other story he told about this woman. Now, this one may not seem as risky as the other, unless, you know, I want to take a poll here. Okay, there are two ways of viewing this woman. You know, whether this woman was very methodically cleaning her house little by little and moving the couch and looking for that coin, and, you know, and in the process sweeping out all the dust that was behind the couch, and then moving it back, and then maybe going over to the TV. Well, they didn't have TV back then, but pulling the stand out and sweeping behind there and looking for the coin, you know, very methodically, so that at the end of the search, the whole house is clean. That's one option. But the other option might be that she is ransacking her abode, seeking, as you know, clearly just sweeping, not to clean, but sweeping to find. Okay, let's just take a poll. How many think that she was sweeping methodically, and how many think that she was ransacking her home to find the coin? Methodically, raise your hand. Okay, you know, that probably says something about us, you know, if we do that. How many think she was ransacking her home? That seems to be clearly the... Clearly, well, I don't know the answer to that question, but, you know, what was the risk that this woman took? You know, perhaps ending up with a very messy house, or having took the time to search everywhere. And time, you know, is money, right? Time is money. I don't know how much that coin was worth. Maybe her time was worth more than that coin. I don't know. Risk. Okay, and then we get to this text from the Apostle Paul and God's big risk in him. You remember his story, don't you? The story of someone who was on the opposite side of the issue as the followers of Jesus, after Jesus had physically left them but had empowered them through the Spirit. He saw this Jesus movement as a danger and something in need of being wiped out. And so he got his papers all in order, and he went off in search of all these people. In fact, he was responsible for the death of one of the first deacons. And yet, God took this enemy, if you will, and somehow along the way, it took a little bit of blinding on the path to Damascus, if you remember that story, and a little bit of time in connection with other believers and stuff like this to kind of turn him around. But God took a huge risk. You know, and that's what Paul says. I was chief among sinners. I mean, I was on the opposite side of everything. And yet, God took a risk on me. Now, all these texts we can read, and we probably should listen and hear from the perspective of those who are lost, because we all have our lostness, we all have our brokenness, we all have those places in our lives where, you know, we just don't, our stories don't fit together, and we have been in many ways enemies of the cross. We have not done what's right. We're, you know, the point being that, okay, we're all sinners, right? Can we say that here? We're all sinners. I mean, I needed to say that yesterday. Mary Stephen was a sinner. Mary? Mary was about as perfect a person as you could. But, you know, it was funny when I got together with the sons and their wives on Monday to kind of plan out the service. You know, I said, well, I'm sure Mary had her, you know, not so great sides to her. And the boys laughed and said, really? They sort of did that tongue in cheek, but they knew. Kids know their parents' quirks. right? Kids know what buttons to push, right? Okay. Well, now, we can hear these stories, hear the scripture from the lost side of things. But remember, especially this passage that Paul was writing to Timothy. Paul was not writing to Timothy saying, you're lost. He was writing to his young co-worker who he was sort of mentoring into some of the same tasks that God had called him, Paul, to do. And in many ways, encouraging Timothy to see the important aspect of this whole thing, that we need to be open to all. And Paul went so far as to say, if I might read here, he says, the saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. You could say that, you know, write this down because you need to stake your entire life upon it. This is important. Remember this. You know, perhaps this is something we need to write down. I mean, okay, if there is anything to write down and remember from this sermon, here it is. So if you got a pencil, go ahead and do that. And I don't see anybody doing so, but this is what you need to do. Maybe you even need to underline this in your Bible. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Okay? That's important. That is significant. That, in some ways, that's why we're here. Now, we're not here to do that kind of in a lordly, lording over people kind of way. That we are here, we are the saved ones, and we're going to save you. No, we don't save anybody. It's God who does that. It's God who's already at work. Were you listening, you know, when it was said a little bit earlier that God is already at work in people's lives? And we're sort of part of the planting and the sowing, but it's God who's given the growth. It's God who's doing all this work. And we just need to have our eyes open to this God who is always reaching out, who is going after that one sheep, who is searching for that lost coin, who is risking everything on the person that we may think is the worst example possible. And yet in the economy of God, in the mission, the philosophy of God, this one may be the absolute most important. Okay, just some food for thought. Now, I want to close with a video that I know it will end up saying it comes from the Anglican Church of Toronto, Canada. But so what? We can make this for us too, okay? This is an important one. So let's pay attention.
Here's a few reasons why people don't go to church.
I can't come to church until I get my life together.
Church is how I got my life together.
Church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites. And there's always room for one more. All they care about is your money. They care about me, not about my money.
Is there some kind of dress code?
Yes, the code is wear some clothes.
Church, it just makes me nervous.
I was nervous at first, and then I felt right at home.
I'm not sure I believe everything that you believe.
But you can still walk. Church is for wimpy, girly men.
You want to sit down again?
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't want me.
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't be worried.
You can come to my church even if you were brought up Catholic.
Baptist. Methodist.
Jewish.
Mormon.
Lutheran. Pentecostal.
Presbyterian.
Church of Christ.
Southern Baptist.
A little bit of everything and a whole lot of nothing.
See, it's not about a religion. It's about a relationship.
So please, come to my church.
Where nobody's perfect.
Where beginners are welcome.
Where socks are optional, but grace is required.
Where forgiveness is offered.
Where hope is alive.
And where it's okay to not be okay. Really.
You notice there was a date on that at the end? Maybe we should make that a date for ourselves. It's 2 weeks from today, you know. Take the opportunity to invite somebody to come with you to church. You never know what might happen. Amen?